Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to Acts chapter 17. We're on to a new chapter, all right? We're working our way along here. Took us a year to get through 16, you know, really 15, I guess, the whole year. And now we're kind of working our way through. Hopefully we'll be done with Acts before the end of the year. I joked last year that maybe we'd be done by Easter, but we're not going to be done. I mean, and by Easter of this year. But we're not going to be done by Easter of this year, but that's okay. But we're continuing in Acts chapter 17. We actually took a break last week from our series because if you weren't here, we had a guest speaker. Tyler Nice came and shared once again. He's a good friend of mine. Love him so much. I know many of you know him and love him. He comes and speaks often on here. I've kind of got him now on a rotation of about three times a year. When I'm gone to different conferences, he comes and speaks after that, so I don't have to worry while I'm gone to that conference about preparing for Sunday. And so he's just a great guy. If you missed it, you can listen online. As a matter of fact, I would encourage, if you haven't been here the last 3 weeks, the last three messages online, very important, valuable messages for our church. So encourage you to check them out. Well, today we're going to jump back into Acts now and into this series. And so if you were here 2 weeks ago, you know I kind of wrapped up chapter 16 as we talked about sharing Jesus with others. That was when I kind of talked about to praying for people to come to know Jesus. But as I read verses 1 through 15 in chapter 17, I began to realize that this week's message could actually be part 2 of sharing Jesus with others. And so that's why I title it, Sharing Jesus with Others 2, part 2, okay? Because as I read through these scriptures, there were some things, much like in chapter 16, that I feel we could learn when it comes to being people who share Jesus with others. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can follow along with me. We're going to read Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 15. This is what it says. When they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, I listened to it this morning. I listened to how to say it, and I messed it up. Here, you know what? Watch this. I'm going to do something really stupid here. I'm going to show you something. This is what I do. This is my little secret, okay?
When they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica.
There we go. Okay? As they passed through all those things. And now my Bible won't shut up. There we go. Okay. Sorry, I shouldn't tell my Bible to shut up, should I? Sorry, my app wouldn't be quiet. All right, so you heard all those. They came to Thessalonica. I am such a crazy man. All right, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. "This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Christ," he said. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and not a few prominent women. But the Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some other brothers before the city officials, shouting, "These men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here, and Jason has welcomed them into his house. They are all defying Caesar's decrees, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus." When they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil. Then they made Jason and the others post bond and let them go. Verse 10. As soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogues. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians. For they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Many of the Jews believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. When the Jews in Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching the word of God at Berea, they went there too, agitating the crowds and stirring them up. The brothers immediately sent Paul to the coast, but Silas and Timothy stayed at Berea. The men who escorted Paul brought him to Athens and then left him with instructions for Silas and Timothy to join him as soon as possible. Now, once again, throughout these scriptures, we see Paul faithfully and passionately share the truth of Jesus with others. And I believe Paul's passion and desire to do this goes back to what Tyler actually spoke about last week. He talked about the greatest commandments, loving God and loving people. Because I believe it's our love for God and the love that He gives us for people that ultimately drives us to be people who want to share Jesus with others, right? We do it because we love God and we love people and we want to see them come to know Him. And in these scriptures, I believe that there are some more things God wants us to know when it comes to sharing Jesus with others. And so we're going to talk about those this morning. The first thing I want to share is this. Sharing Jesus with others requires commitment. Sharing Jesus with others requires commitment. We have to be all in, right? We have to go all in. We have to put all the cards on the table. If you've been with us as we've been walking through this series in Acts, you know that Paul is committed. He is committed to sharing the gospel. Paul is definitely all in. And in these scriptures, we see him. He continues to go to the synagogues. And he continues to share the gospel of Jesus. He is committed to do whatever it takes, to share others or to share Jesus with others. You see, one of the things we have to realize as Christians is this: sharing Jesus with others isn't just a good idea. As Christians, we have to understand sharing Jesus with others isn't just a good idea. It isn't just something that, well, we should do, right? It's actually something that we've been commanded to do. It's called the Great Commission. Jesus gives the disciples, He gives His people this Great Commission, this command. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, it says this. I think we have it to go up on the screen. It says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" Jesus, He has all authority. The Father has given Him all authority. And so He says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded." And then there's another scripture in Mark, in Mark 16:15. It's very similar. It says this. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations." Go into all the world. Go into Dallas, small little community out in nowhere land, okay? Go there and share Jesus with others. We're all called to share Jesus with others. And the fact is it requires commitment. It requires commitment on our behalf. And we have to ask ourselves, are we committed to sharing Jesus with others? Is that something we do? Is that a priority in our lives? Because as Christians, it should be. And I'm not preaching at you today, okay? I'm sharing this about myself because I need to do that as well. I need to share with others about Jesus as well. Are we committed to sharing Jesus with others? What does that look like for us? What does that look like in our lives? Because a lot of times I think we think out there, I've been out there before, okay? I think we think out there, isn't that what the pastor does? Isn't that his job, right? Isn't that what he's paid for? What else does he do around here, right? And many of us think, well, come on, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a preacher. I can't share Jesus with others. I can't share Jesus like he does up there. And the reality is, most of you in here aren't necessarily called to do what I do up here. The role of a pastor, it's a unique role, okay? It's a challenging role. I don't just work on Sundays, for those that believe that that's what happens, you know, my few hours on Sundays and then just kick my feet up the rest of the week. It's a challenging role. Do you know what my main job is as a pastor? According to Ephesians 4, my role as a pastor is to equip God's people for His work. And what is His work? It's to make disciples. It's to lead people to Jesus. My role as a pastor is to help equip you, to help you, to encourage you, to give you the things that you need to share Jesus with others. Sometimes that's just challenging you. Sometimes that's just encouraging you to share Jesus with others. And so the question I think we have to ask ourselves is, what does that look like for us as individuals? Me too. When I'm not up here, because my role up here is to equip the church. When I step down from here and I go out there, my role is the same as you, is to share the gospel with others. And so what does it look like for us as individuals? Well, I really believe, as I was processing this week, it goes back to Matthew 5:16. And you've heard me share this verse time and time again, because Matthew 5:16, it's my life verse. It's my family's life verse. My kids' names are the names that they are because of that scripture, Matthew 5:16. If you aren't familiar with this verse, it simply says this. I have it to go on the screen. This is from the New King James Version, because that's how I learned it. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, may glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, that it may glorify your Father in heaven. You see, one of the best ways for us to share Jesus is through our own lives. The best way, one of the best ways for us to share Jesus is through our own lives. It's letting His love, letting His grace, letting His goodness, letting all that He is shine through us in a way that others are drawn not to us, but to Christ in us, that others are drawn to Him. It's this idea of living out His Word in our life, letting who He is. When we look at Jesus in here and we see Jesus, is that what people are seeing in us? That's the best way for us to share Jesus with others, living out His Word, living out His life the way He's called us to live. And living out life in this way takes commitment. You can't just kind of say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian and I'm going to let my light shine, you know? It takes commitment to live out the life that God's called us to live. It's putting God's will and putting His desires before our own. And the amazing thing is this, is when we're committed and when we live life in this way, His light shines through us and it often opens up opportunities for us to share Jesus with others. Preach the gospel at all times. Use words if necessary. Here's the thing. Our lives speak volumes to people, right? And what they speak will then give us opportunity at times to use the words necessary to lead them to Jesus. But it all starts with commitment. And I want to finish this point with this. Part of that commitment means not giving up. Part of that commitment is not giving up. A few weeks ago, as I shared earlier, we shared with the church what God put on our heart about praying for those who know Him. That we are to cry out to the dry bones, to pray for our family members, to pray for our friends, to pray for our neighbors and co-workers, those who don't have a relationship with the Lord. And it's interesting because I've had numerous people thank me for sharing that word. And it's because many of them admitted to me that they have people that they've been praying for years, whether it's family members, friends, co-workers. They've had people they've been praying for years. And part of them had almost given up, thinking that they're never going to change. I've been praying and praying and I don't see any difference. I haven't seen any changes in their life. And because of these doubts and fears that they were experiencing, when I shared this word a few weeks ago, it encouraged them and inspired them, they said, to start praying again. To not give up on those people that they had given up on. It reminded them that they needed to trust in the Lord and continue to pray. And this idea of commitment is not giving up on those we share the truth of Jesus with, not giving up on our family members, not giving up on our friends, not giving up on our neighbors. It may seem impossible for those people you're praying for to ever change, to ever have a relationship with Jesus, but with God, the impossible can always become possible. Amen? I think it's safe to say that most of the disciples never imagined that Saul, who became Paul, who we're reading about today, that he would ever come to know the Lord. And I say this because even when he did become a Christian, what did it say in the Scriptures? They were afraid. They weren't really sure. That they thought it was a trap. It's a trap, right? For you Star Wars fans. They didn't even believe it. And I know for a fact that there are people in this room today whose family members had almost given up on believing that they would ever change. But they're here today and they're serving the Lord, making a difference, and now they're praying for others in their life. Sharing Jesus with others, it requires commitment, and I encourage you, don't give up. Don't give up, because we serve a God of miracles. Amen? The second thing that we can learn from these scriptures is this. Sharing Jesus with others requires great strength. It requires strength. In verse 5 it says, "But other Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd." Sounds familiar, right? As we've been reading through Acts lately, it just seems like the same thing again and again. Everywhere Paul and Silas went, they shared Jesus with others. And everywhere Paul and Silas went, they faced opposition, right? They faced challenges from those that opposed Christianity. Now, I don't know about most of you, but I personally, I don't like to be hated by others, okay? I want to be liked. I'm a likable guy, right? I mean, really, who wouldn't like a nice, sweet, intelligent, good-looking, charming, fun-loving guy like myself, right? Come on. Who wouldn't? Was that a little too much? Was that a little bit too much there? The truth is, though, as I joke, the truth is we all want to be liked, right? We don't like it when people don't like us. We don't like it when people come against us. But the fact is, sharing Jesus with others won't always make people like us. Living our life for Christ won't always make people think we're cool. Okay? As a matter of fact, sometimes it's the opposite. There are people out there that won't like us because we're Christians. Oh, you're one of them. Right? The idea of Christianity or living our lives for Jesus, it can be a threat to people. It can offend people. And it's because Jesus messes with the way people want to live. Right? He's messed with the way I want to live at times. What, God? No. I really want to do this. Many people don't like the idea of giving up their will for the will of someone else's. And that's something that we're called to do as Christians. And the truth is there are all sorts of reasons. That's just one of the little reasons. But there's all sorts of reasons why people don't like Christians and why they don't want to hear about Jesus. There are those who will resist and who will fight against us if we share Jesus at all. And here's the thing, oftentimes it may be our own family members or it's friends or those people that we love. And when this happens, it can be discouraging. It can be tough. Staying committed and being faithful to share Jesus with others can be a challenging thing. And we live in the United States. Because I'm guessing most of us will never have to face the kind of challenges that Paul and Silas faced here in the Scripture. And hopefully we won't experience the extreme persecution that they experienced. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. But hopefully we won't have to experience these extreme situations. But that doesn't mean that we won't face difficulties. It doesn't mean we won't face some challenges for us here. There will be challenging times in our life when we're faithful to share Jesus with others. And because of that, we need great strength to push on. We need strength to persevere through those difficult times. Paul and Silas, man, they had great strength as they continued to share Jesus with others. And the key to that great strength is where it came from. Right? Paul wasn't, you know, when he wasn't preaching, he wasn't in the gym lifting weights. Got to get strong. Got to buff up. Yeah. How about these guns? You know, that's not how Paul got strong, right? Sorry, it's the youth in me that always comes out. The key to that great strength is where it comes from. Philippians 4:13, probably one of my other favorite verses outside of Matthew 5:16. It tells us this: we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. All things. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It's not our strength. It's His strength. And the key is that we are operating in His power. We talked about earlier in worship, Holy Spirit, Your presence here through the power of the Holy Spirit. May we operate in Your power. As I was studying this idea of operating in the power of God, I came across this illustration I want to share with you this morning. It's titled, The Car That Wouldn't Start. Have you ever had those issues? I've had those issues. It says this, in a seminary missions class, Herbert Jackson told how, as a new missionary, he was assigned a car that would not start without being pushed. After pondering his problem, he devised a plan. As he made his rounds, he would either park on a hill or leave the engine running. He used this ingenious procedure for 2 years. But then ill health forced the Jackson family to leave their post, and a new missionary came to that station. When Jackson proudly began to explain his arrangement for making his rounds, the new missionary began looking under the hood. Before the explanation was complete, the new missionary interrupted. "Why, Dr. Jackson, I believe the only trouble is this loose cable." He gave the cable a twist, snapped it into the car. He then got in the car, pushed the switch, and to Jackson's astonishment, the engine roared to life. For 2 years, needless trouble had become routine. The power was there all the time, but a loose connection kept Jackson from putting the power into work. And the question I ask us this morning is, are we operating on His strength? Or are we operating on our own strength? How is our connection? The Holy Spirit's there, ready and willing to help us, but if we're not plugged into the source, we're not going to experience the power. Sharing Jesus with others requires great strength, and that strength can only be found in and through Jesus, through the power of His Holy Spirit. Now, the final point I want to share this morning is this. We learned this morning in worship. Sharing Jesus with others requires flexibility. Being willing to change on the fly in the moment's notice. Paul had all sorts of people out to get him. We see that all throughout these scriptures. Every place he went, they were trying to kill him. And so it was necessary for Paul to be flexible and to be open to what the Holy Spirit was telling him. Because things could change on a moment's notice. We see here in verse 10, we see him leaving Thessalonica during the night so that he wouldn't be attacked by these religious enemies. In verse 14, we see him leaving Berea to go to Athens because of the trouble the Jews had stirred up there. Now, he's not running, okay? Let me just say this. Because Paul stuck around when he needed to stick around, right? To the point a couple times where they threw stones at him and drug him outside the city thinking he was dead. He is willing to stay and fight. He's willing to do whatever he needs to do, but he's also listening to the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit says go, you better go. Because if Paul hadn't been willing to be flexible and to be open to the direction of the Holy Spirit, he probably would have been killed prematurely, right? He had to be open and flexible. Being flexible and open is huge in our relationship with the Lord. And it's also huge in sharing Jesus with others. Because the truth is we can't force the good news of Jesus on anyone. We try it, and people in our world, we try it. We try to force Christianity down their throat. We try to force Jesus into their lives. But we can't force Jesus on anyone. Nobody comes to the Father unless the Holy Spirit draws them to Him. But I know that there are times in my own life where I've tried to push things with family members or situations where I've tried to force people to change, to come to know Jesus. We try to force them to believe what we believe, but if they're not ready, we may push them farther away from Jesus than closer to Him. A lot of people in our world, they hate the church. They hate Christians. Why? Probably because some of them have experienced people that have tried to force God on them. We have to be flexible. We need to be strong enough, listen to this, we need to be strong enough to share Jesus with others, but flexible enough to know when to pull back, when to speak, when to be quiet. I want to share with you an illustration on flexibility. The Imperial Hotel. Years ago, Frank Lloyd Wright was given the impossible task of building the Imperial Hotel in Tokyo, Japan. No comparable construction job had ever before been undertaken. With patience, he laid plans for the immense building in this land of earthquakes and terrible tremors. After carefully reviewing the situation, he found that 8 feet below the surface of the ground lay a 60-foot bed of soft mud. Why not float the great structure on this and in some way make it absorb the shock of the earthquake? After 4 years of work, amid ridicule and jeers of skeptical onlookers, this most difficult building in the world was completed. And soon arrived the day that tested it completely. The worst earthquake in 52 years caused houses and buildings all around it to crumble and fall in ruins. But the Imperial Hotel stood because it was able to adjust itself to the tremors of the earth. It's a great illustration. That last line there, it was able to adjust itself to the tremors. As Christians, being flexible means being able to adjust ourselves depending on the situations. As followers of Christ, we're seeking to share Jesus with others. And as we do that, we have to be flexible. We have to be open to the Holy Spirit. We have to be willing to speak up when He tells us to speak up, because sometimes that's the part we struggle with, right? God said, I want you to share this with them. Oh, I don't know. Where's the pastor? Is the pastor around? I need the pastor, right? We need to be willing to share when those times when He tells us to share. But we also need to then be willing to be quiet when He tells us to be quiet. Preach the gospel at all times. Use words if necessary. Now ultimately they will be necessary, but sometimes people just need to see it in you first. You need to give them that opportunity, and we need to be flexible in that. We have to listen when the Lord says stop. We stop. When He says move on, we move on. Because when we're flexible, when it comes to sharing with Jesus, when we're flexible, when it comes to sharing Jesus with others, it's then that the Holy Spirit can use us to draw people into His presence. We have been commissioned. We have been commanded to share Jesus with others. In doing so, we have to remember these three things that are up here today. Sharing Jesus with others requires commitment. Are we all in? Are we all in? Are we willing to do whatever He asks us? Sharing Jesus with others requires great strength. It's not our strength, it's His. Are we plugged in to the power source? Are we plugged into Him? And sharing Jesus with others requires flexibility. Are we willing to adjust depending on the situation? Because if we are willing to do these things, God's going to use us in great ways to bring people to Him. We see that Paul and Silas, these are things we saw in their life. And as they shared Jesus with others, we see in different places, people were converted. People kept coming to know Jesus. If we're faithful to do these things, we will see results, not because of us, but because of Christ in us. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this morning, just this opportunity to come and to worship You, Lord. Thank You for just amazing worship this morning and just this opportunity to prepare our hearts for what You wanted to speak in and through us. And so, Lord, I just thank You for this word as You're just challenging us as a church, Lord, to be people who see others come to know You in this year through our lives, through our prayers, Lord, that we would carry out these things, Lord, that we'd be willing to be committed to You, that we'd be willing, Lord, to be flexible. That we'd be willing, Lord, to draw upon your strength, Lord, in all these things so that we can be who you've called us to be. And that's what it's about, Lord. It's about giving up our agenda for your agenda, Lord. It's about living the life that you've called us to live, to love you, to love others, to see your kingdom extended. And so we seek to live the lives that you've called us to live, Lord. We pray that you allow this word just to penetrate our hearts, to challenge each of us where we're at, Lord. What are those one or two things that you wanted to speak to us today? May we take those things, Lord, and may we not take them and forget them. May we take them, and as we head out of this place this week, work on growing in these areas, Lord. So we thank you for these things. We thank you for the work that you're doing in and through our lives. We give it all to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.